This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's gone now. All right, good. It's gone. Yeah, it probably should have been gone a little earlier, but... Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. May I just say, what a weird day this is going to be and has already been. So last night, we're sort of in the middle of a holy war, if you will. No, not with the Muslims. No, it's Trump versus the Vatican. And did not have this on the bingo card, ladies and gentlemen, but that's the way it goes. Nevertheless, we're always prepared to bring you great analysis, whether you agree or not. I think we can all agree it is great. And I'm going to try to unravel what's just transpired here. Now, President Trump is under fire for sharing what many are calling a blasphemous meme on True Social. Have you seen the meme? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, so this meme, this is what the other side is saying. And by the other side, just about every Catholic in America, they're saying that President Trump is committing blasphemy because he shared a meme that portrayed himself as Jesus Christ healing a sick person, as military angels descend from the sky and people are gathered around the bedside of this ailing individual. And we don't know who the individuals are. There are a lot of fake memes based on the original meme. So if anybody calls in today and says it was Jeffrey Epstein, we're hanging up on you because it was not Epstein. So anyway, there were no words attached to this. He put it out there. And of course, all of this within the context of this particular story after a weekend where the White House and the Vatican were trading barbs. And I'll get to that part of the story in just a moment, because this is not all happening in just spontaneously. This is a very well coordinated plot against the president. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So anyway, I'm looking at the meme and people are very upset over my initial take on what's going on here, because I'm not quite sure it actually means what people think it means. Now, let me just step back for a second. I'm not going to speak for the president. I reached out to the White House earlier today, and I said, hey, can you provide us with some context? What sort of message was the president trying to convey here? And we got nothing. So they're not commenting on it. However, we understand that the meme has now been deleted from True Social. Dare I say it has been raptured from the president's social media feed. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know. I'm stepping on so many minefields. It's landmines today. It is not going to be a pleasant conversation. I'm just curious, any of you have a problem with what the president posted? Do any of you have a problem? And do you consider it to be blasphemy? And here's the reason why I ask that. Because in this image, which originally was posted by a guy by the name of Nick Adams, he's a big Trump supporter, and this was back in February, and the context of that post was that Donald Trump was healing the nation. And so within that context, okay, I get it, it's kind of weird, but okay, I mean, I get that. But even if it was And I do believe it was, quite frankly, tone deaf, because I think even with the Trump administration, you've really got to think for a second, how is this going to play? And I don't think they thought that through. I really don't. But again, the question is, that image of the president, is that blasphemy? And I don't think it is. I don't believe it reaches the, you know, people are saying, oh, it wasn't Jesus, that he was portrayed as one of the disciples. Yeah, okay, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, if somebody could, Dylan, could you do me a favor? Dylan, could you just Google latest photo of Jesus Christ, and maybe we can do a picture-by-picture comparison. What's that, Dylan? You can't do that? Why can't you do that, Dylan?
He's not pictured.
There are no pictures of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Dylan.
You're welcome.
Well, yeah, there is that one where he's, you know, the blonde-haired, you know, white guy. No, that's, I don't think that's accurate. Just going to step out on faith on that one. So anyway, So we have to define blasphemy. All right. So this is the actual definition of blasphemy: the act or offense of speaking sacrilegiously about God or sacred things. Using that definition, I don't think the image actually rises to that level. Was it in poor taste? I guess. I don't know the context. I mean, politically tone deaf? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely there. But from what I could tell, they weren't trying to mock. This wasn't a mockery of Jesus. This wasn't a mockery of our Lord. This was Donald Trump healing the nation from the wounds inflicted by the demonic Democrats. That's what I think is going on here. But I may be off base. I don't think I am, but I may be off base on that. So anyway, everybody's going all bonkers crazy, and all these little conservatives, you know, the young conservatives getting off their private jets, coming off the golf course at the Masters to hyperventilate about all of this stuff. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure, is it going to matter? I don't know. Is this going to impact independent Catholic voters? I don't know. I just don't know. But what I can tell you is that the Obama administration was in fact guilty of blasphemy and promoting blasphemy. And I posted something on X, and people are saying very unkind things about your host, but I'm used to that. No worries. But let me just say this. I posted a bunch of photos. There was one talking about how Obama was the first black gay Jesus. That was on the cover of Newsweek magazine, by the way. Had a little rainbow-colored halo. You want to talk about blasphemy? Let's have that conversation. Wouldn't be sitting under a tree in a thunderstorm when I'm having it either. You want to talk about blasphemy? What about the image, the sculpture, the painting, rather, of Barack Obama being portrayed as crucified on a cross? Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is blasphemous. Or, for example, the Obama votives, the candles, or the Obama nativity scene. Or the Obama prayer shawls that were provided to people attending the 2012 Democrat National Convention in, of all places, Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, if you want to have that conversation, we can have that conversation. Or what about the sculpture, the actual sculpture from the guy in the Windy City, the artist in the Windy City? It was a sculpture literally called Chicago Jesus. I mean, if we want to have that conversation, fine, let's have that conversation. But they actually thought Barack Hussein Obama was their Lord and Savior. They sang worship songs to the guy. Remember that? Barack Hussein Obama. Still gives me creeps to this day. So anyway, if you want to have that conversation, okay. But the problem is, I think it's really about political messaging. And the White House has got to be smarter about this kind of stuff. They just do. The messaging's all over the place, and I know you can't control the president. I get that. But you got to try. You got to try. Because people are going to interpret this, and this is all everybody's talking about right now. They're not talking about the incredibly successful thing that happened in Islamabad when, for 21 hours, the vice president of the United States tore Iran a new one. They're not talking about that. And the reason why is because that's how the media is. That's how the Democrats are. And quite frankly, you also get a chance to see and be reminded once again of who the never Trumpers are in the Republican Party. And many of them, you know, will sort of feign support for Obama. But when something like this happens, they run for the hills. Why, I'm just so appalled by what my president has done. Jesus loves you. Yeah, Jesus loves all of us. But there's no reason for you to take the Holy Bible, the hardback edition of the Bible, and beat President Trump upside the head with it. I mean, come on. So at the same time, and I'm happy to support my president, at the same time, the White House got to lend us a little helping hand here. You got to step away from the intentional minefields. Why do I keep saying that? Landmines. It's Monday. Bear with me. So anyway, this is where we stand with all of that. And I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that the president deleted it. You know, early on, this president said that he doesn't apologize for anything because he doesn't make mistakes. I think he may have made a mistake here. I do. Do I think it was blasphemy? Absolutely not. And if anyone with half of a brain would actually look up the definition, you would see that. But I can see why some Catholics might be offended. But quite frankly, I'm offended at the Catholics, and I want to explain why. What's wrong with you people? And why is your church so left, and why are they so woke? That's what I want to know. Because here's what's really going on here. This is nothing more than a concerted political attack against our president, and it's being perpetrated by the Vatican and by Pope Leo. Now, I'm a Southern Baptist. I don't get into all the Catholic stuff, what you guys want to do in your church and the Vatican and all that. That's your business. That is your business. Proud to march alongside Catholic friends in the marches for life? Absolutely. But we've got a lot of differences in our theology, and we're not going to talk about that today. This is not a church service here. But I want to go back to last week and set the context for you. Nobody's talking about this, but you need to understand the context of all of this. So last week, David Axelrod, remember, you've seen him on CNN. Okay, well, nobody watches CNN, but anyway, he's on CNN. And David Axelrod was the former senior advisor to Barack Hussein Obama, also a long time, very powerful Democrat strategist. David Axelrod last week met privately with Pope Leo. And Pope Leo is now, just days later, attacking President Trump. I want to know what they talked about. I want to know what they talked about. On Sunday, you had three cardinals of the Catholic Church appearing on 60 Minutes, and they all rebuked President Trump's immigration policies. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe in coincidences. I just don't. And it certainly appears, and going all the way back to 2025, that Pope Leo has weaponized the Catholic Church to advance an agenda that is promoting open borders and illegal immigration. Is he as far left radical as the communist pope you guys had, Pope Francis? Nah, I don't know. I don't know. I think we all said, okay, this guy's going to be moderate, but I don't know. They've also chosen sides in the Iran war. No, they have not. Todd, what are you doing? Why would you say something like that? Well, it's very simple. You're either for the United States or you're for Iran. There's no wiggle room. And if you're for Iran, then you are for all sorts of terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism. You are for the enslavement of women. There's no wiggle room here. It's not, yeah, but. No. This is all about good versus evil. And the Catholic Church chose to side with evil, Iran. Pope has been blasting this president's policy since 2025, and he's using the pulpit to play politics. And I will say this. President Trump got to give the guy credit because he actually held his tongue for a very long time. But then he came out over the weekend and he said, you know what, enough of this nonsense. And he put out a statement. And well, I'll read some of the statement a little bit later on. But he said, basically, in essence, Pope Leo is soft on crime, and he's a very liberal pontiff. So again, in my estimation, the attacks on President Trump coming from the Vatican are nothing more than a coordinated attack. And I guarantee you, it was the Democrats and the Vatican working in cahoots. And between you and me, I find it to be distasteful, uncharitable, and quite frankly, unchristian. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Agree, disagree, give us a call. We're going to start the conversation.
Hey, everybody, Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes.
All right, this segment of the Todd Stearns Show brought to you by our friends at MyPillow. Mike Lindell, MyPillow, want to thank you for your great support this past year. They're now offering free shipping just for our listeners on your entire order, and you're going to get a wholesale pricing. For example, the classic MyPillow is $49.98, now only $14.98, and you can turn any mattress into the best mattress ever with the Made in the USA MyPillow My Mattress Topper. You're going to save up to $100. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Starnes, or give them a call at 1-800-839-8506. That's MyPillow.com. Be sure to use promo code Starnes. All right, let's go to the phone lines. North Carolina, Dave, what say you?
I say, first of all, a couple quick comments, but first, full disclosure, I voted for Trump again. However, I would have voted for the janitor at the junior high because he wasn't Kamala. So it was election math. It certainly isn't because of Donald. And I don't worship at the altar of Trump. What he's done most recently is blasphemous. It's horrible. And, you know, this guy is continuously elevating himself in stature. He's putting his pedestal so high that he needs new ladders to get up there. So, and the second worst thing about it is supporting it in any way. There are no attacks against him from the Vatican. They're calling him out. And he's not beyond reproach. He's not beyond criticism. You know, wrong is wrong. And the thing is, Donald Trump is not a 13-year-old girl. Put the damn phone down. Don't want to hear your tweets. Don't care how you feel about something. We have children missing. We have all kinds of stuff going on. Fix the problem and stop giving us your opinion, Donald, because we don't care.
All right. First of all, his name is Mr. President. Let's show a little bit of respect here, Dave. Mr. President.
He's not acting respectful, Todd.
It doesn't matter. How is it blasphemous? I want to know, how does that mean blasphemous?
For any man in any way to elevate himself to a position where he thinks he's even comparable to Jesus.
How do you know he did that? Did he say that?
Did he?
No.
His comments come
no,
out
he,
all the time.
Well,
I have no idea what he said.
Because he didn't say anything. He shared
well, Todd,
a meme.
I'll tell you what. You go ahead and justify it from your end. You know, you think that he can do no wrong, but that's incorrect.
Dave, I haven't justified one single thing. And if you were not, go back and listen to my opening comments and my remarks, and you'll hear exactly what I said. Dave, I got to run. 901-260-5926. Dave said President Trump needs to shut up. stop posting things on social media. What say you, folks? We'll be right back.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are expecting President Trump to make some comments. We don't know what this is all about. We do know that the It could be the situation in the Middle East. Maybe he's going to say something about this image that that he posted on the True Social. So we'll keep you updated, and we'll try to bring those remarks to you live when the president speaks to the nation. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Johnny in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Johnny. What's on your mind?
What would it take for you to denounce Trump? I mean, What can he do to make you denounce him and say that he's wrong? What does he have to do?
Well, I did say the post was tone deaf. What else do you want me to say? I can't say. You see, Johnny, I know what you want me to say, but I'm not gonna walk into your trap, because ultimately we don't know the context of that painting. We just do not know. And I will say this, Johnny, has Donald Trump done anything that would lead you to believe that he was mocking Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
What? I'm talking about leading up to that meme, Johnny. Has Donald Trump done anything to disparage the Christian faith?
Yes. He held the Bible up. When he held the Bible up and he proclaimed to be a Christian, but yet it's still... He wants to go and blaspheme Christians.
How is he blaspheming Christians, Johnny? How is he blaspheming Christians?
Todd, you know better.
No, I'm asking you a question. You're not answering my question, Johnny, and I'm giving you a chance. How is he blaspheming? How has he blasphemed Jesus Christ?
With that picture, Todd.
What in that picture is he doing that is offensive?
Depicting himself as Jesus.
No, sir. How do you know that?
It is easy because I know Donald Trump and you know it too. It is easy. And then you asked Dylan to look up Jesus, Google Jesus, and then you say there's no picture of Jesus. So the white nationalist conservatives, they've been lying all this time.
Well, let me put it this way, Johnny. If you've got a Polaroid of Jesus Christ, I want to see it.
I don't have to have one. The picture of him is in the Bible. The picture of him is on
what page?
Every,
what page?
In it.
Oh, you mean the paintings, Johnny?
Yeah,
come on.
No, the pictures actually. And then when you go to your church, and your church fans has a lot of pictures of Jesus on it. So you all have been lying this whole time about Jesus. And that's what you were saying.
So Johnny, you think that the church fans, and many, at least in the southern states, many churches have fans because of the AC, or it gets a little hot in there. You're telling me that the portrait on the fan is the actual portrait of Christ?
That's what y'all depicted as.
We don't have church fans. We have a pretty good AC unit.
And the church that you go to, they said, this is Christ, and you got him on your window. you got them on them beautiful stained window signs. That's Christ. And then, like I said, your white conservative friends, they got a picture of Christ. That's who they worship. So, and then you, so out this whole time we have been like, God, what a shame.
I have no earthly idea what you're talking about. I really don't. I will tell you this, that Joe Biden, a man who, by the way, professed to be a Catholic, is a man who directed his FBI to target members of his own religious group. The FBI went in and tried to recruit Catholic priests to spy on their parishioners in Catholic churches across this nation, starting in Richmond, Virginia. This is the same administration, by the way, the Biden administration, actually ordered the FBI to target pro-life Catholics. They knocked down the doors of their homes and raided homes and pulled people out to arrest them for being pro-life. The Biden administration, they actually threw elderly grandmas in prison for praying outside an abortion clinic. And you know who never complained about that? I'm going to tell you, it was the Pope. It was the Pope Francis and this one. They said absolutely nothing as members of their own denomination were being persecuted by the Democrats in the Biden administration. That's what bothers me. And Johnny, I'm looking here at Donald Trump's track record, and everything I see shows me that he has a great respect for Christianity. Is this man a Christian? I don't know. That's between him and God. But I can tell you that every single breathing moment of his administration, he's been standing alongside people of faith and people of the Christian faith. Johnny, good luck. I appreciate the call, Johnny. All right, let's go now to the president.
Really pertains to you more than anything else.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's fantastic. It's so such an honor to meet you. And I think you voted for me, do you think?
Maybe.
Yeah? I heard you're a great supporter. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'll put this over here. And why don't we have a news conference with the president?
Okay.
Want to do it?
Sure.
You don't have to say too much. I think they're looking about hormones straight and various other things. Do you have any questions?
President, did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?
Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor and had to do with Red Cross as a Red Cross worker there, which we support. And only the fake news could come up with that one. So I just heard about it, and I said, how did they come up with that? It's supposed to be me as a doctor making people better, and I do make people better. I make people a lot better. As an example, the 11,000, I understand your husband's going through treatment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's going through some very serious cancer treatment, so
yes, sir.
This goes a long way.
Yes, sir, it sure does.
Yeah. Mr. President, another round of talks planned with Iran? And if so, will you send Vice President Jaden Vance with?
Well, he's done a good job, and Steve and Jared, they've all done a very good job. And I can tell you that we've been called by the other side. They'd like to make a deal very badly, very badly.
What was the sticking point over? You said it was over nuclear.
It was over nuclear, very similar. Yeah, very good. I guess you're listening. It's over the fact that they will never have a nuclear weapon. Iran, you marking it down? Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. And we agreed to a lot of things, but they didn't agree to that. And I think they will agree to it. I'm almost sure of it. In fact, I am sure of it. If they don't agree, there's no deal. There'll never be a deal. Iran will not have a nuclear weapon, and we're going to get the dust back.
Mr. President,
we'll get it back either. We'll get it back from them, or we'll take it.
Mr. President, as far as the naval blockade is concerned, what's the end game? Is it to force Iran back to the negotiating table? Is it to open up the strait so that gas prices ultimately come down?
Maybe everything. I mean, you know, both of those things, certainly, and more. We can't let a country blackmail or extort the world, because that's what they're doing. They're really blackmailing the world. We're not going to let that happen. And, you know, the amazing thing is we don't, can you believe this? We don't use the strait. We don't need the strait. We have our own oil and gas, much more than we need. We have more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia. Think of this. We produce more Saudi Arabia and add Russia to it. Substantially more. And by next year, we'll have double that amount. So we don't need it, but the world needs it. And many ships are heading to our country right now as we speak to load up with the best really, I guess you could say, somebody said the best and sweetest. I don't know exactly what sweet is, but when it relates to oil, it's a good thing. But they're coming to our country right now. There are many boats coming to our country. Now, it could very well be this is going to be settled before that. We've been called this morning by the right people, the appropriate people, and they want to work a deal. They would like to work a deal.
Is it your anticipation, Mr. President, that other countries will assist in this effort to blockade Iran and those...
Yeah, other countries are going to also.
Which countries, sir?
We don't need other countries, frankly, but they've offered the services. We'll let it be known probably tomorrow.
Has the blockade started, sir?
Yeah, started. 10 o'clock.
Bishop Robert Barron's support to you and your policies praises you for defending religious freedom.
Yeah.
He now says you owe Pope Leo an apology. Will you apologize?
No, I don't, because Pope Leo said things that are wrong. He was very much against what I'm doing with regard to Iran, and you cannot have a nuclear Iran. Pope Leo would not be happy with the end result. You have hundreds of millions of people dead, and it's not going to happen. So I can't. I think he's very weak on crime and other things. So I'm not. I mean, he went public. I'm just responding to Pope Leo. And you know, his brother is a big MAGA person, and he's a great guy, Lewis. And I said, I like Lewis better than I like the Pope. No, you have to have law and order in our country, and that's what we have now. We have the lowest crime numbers we've had in a long time, despite the fact that many criminals were allowed into our country, but we've gotten a lot of them out. We've done a great job on crime. So we have the lowest murder rate in 125 years since 1900, the lowest murder rate. So we believe strongly in law and order, and he seemed to have a problem with that, so there's nothing to apologize for. He's wrong. The other thing is he didn't like what we're doing with respect to Iran, but Iran is a wants to be a nuclear nation so they can exterminate the world. Not going to happen.
And Mr. President, on Iran, if the deal is not reached by the end of the ceasefire, does your threat from before still stand?
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that, but it won't be pleasant for them, let me put it that way.
Do you still plan to charge your toll to use your trade
report, President? Has your timetable changed in any way in terms of ending this conflict?
No, it's going on. Just right now, there's no fighting. Right now, we have a blockade. They're doing no business. I didn't like seeing boats come out if they were doing business with Iran, but if they weren't, no boats came out. So now Iran is doing absolutely no business, and we're going to keep it that way very easily. Don't forget, their Navy is gone, their Air Force is gone, their anti-aircraft is gone, their radar is gone, and their leaders are gone. It's a lot.
From predominantly going to China, Mr. President, has Xi Jinping reached out? I know you're going to be.
No, but we have a very good relationship with China. He would like to see this ended also. He certainly wants it ended. Everyone, I want to see it ended too. But we can't give a nuclear weapon to a group of people that have caused nothing but havoc for 47 years. Look, I'm the president that's done something about it. This should have been, and many other presidents regret that they didn't. You know, so I'm doing something about it.
Ukraine impeachment documents that were just declassified show that Eric Ciaramella not only submitted false information, but that he had no direct knowledge of the alleged conversations. All hearsay. Do you feel vindicated by those?
Yeah, documents? I do. They're a bunch of crooked people. You're talking about with respect to all of the things that they put against me.
Yeah.
Well, it's come out that in so many different ways. Thank you very much for that question. I appreciate it. But in so many different ways, the election was rigged. The 2020 election was rigged. We found that out. What you just said is just a piece of that. It's a big piece, but minor, relatively speaking, compared to what they did. They cheated on the election. They cheated on the vote. They cheated in every way possible. And it's the only way we got an incompetent man to be a president. And he was an incompetent man. Many of the things that we're talking about, even including this would have been settled a long time ago, not now. And it should have been settled by other presidents. But the election was a rigged election. We can't let that happen to our country.
It's concealment of exculpatory information. What should happen?
Well, it's a very serious charge against them and the Democrats. They cheat. They can't get elected with their policy. So their policy is no good. They want to have... open borders. They want to have men playing in women's sport. Do you think that men should play in women's sports?
I really don't have an opinion on that.
You don't? I'll bet
no,
you do.
No, I'm here about pizza. No tax on tips.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. President, can you say your name and your address to the White House for more understanding?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Is it your understanding that during this period of time, while the U.S. has instituted this naval blockade, that oil companies will be able to send their oil tankers through the strait, get more oil out from this area?
Yeah, I think they're going to be doing very well there, and I think they're doing very well here. You know, a lot of tankers are coming up here. They're coming in empty and out full. And we have a great capacity to take care of that business.
Ma'am, may we know your name, please? Have you delivered to the White House before?
I have not. My name is Sharon Simmons.
And are the White House good tippers? Do you know?
Wait.
Potentially. Yes, very.
Mr. President, can I ask you something?
That's good. Thank you. You reminded me.
Mr. President, one on Cuba, sir. You previously said that you had no problem with countries sending fuel to Cuba after previously promising to tariff them. What happened? What changed?
Well, we're going to see with Cuba. Cuba's another story. Cuba's been a terribly run country for a long time. It's got a bad system. It's been very oppressive, as you know. And we have a lot of great Cuban Americans, all of whom just about voted for me. And they were treated very badly. In many cases, family members have been killed. They've been beaten up and mugged, and like terrible things happened in Cuba. And Cuba's a failing nation. And we're going to do this. And we may stop by Cuba after we're finished with this. But Cuba is a nation that was just been horribly run for many years by Castro.
All right. There we have it. The president conducting an impromptu press conference there on the portico of the White House. And all of this started when a DoorDash grandma showed up with a delivery order for the president from McDonald's. And this is all about promoting his no tax on tips policy. And we don't know what the president ordered, but it looks like he's pretty hungry. He's got two sacks there of food. And Dylan, I got to tell you, I'm concerned. The media is asking far too many questions and the food's getting cold.
You're right. Yeah. He's got to put that in like the oven or something.
McDonald's. Yeah. McDonald's doesn't do well after it starts to cool down.
Not
a little
those
bit.
Fries. Yeah.
No. It's and hard. The burgers start to solidify.
It's true. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. Also, the president was asked about the meme and he says it was meant to depict him as a Red Cross worker. So that's the president's explanation. He says he was not trying to portray himself as Jesus. All right, 901-260-5926. We have got to take a break. Again, the president taking questions there at the White House. And if you were listening, you could also watch the president because we now have that upgraded ability over on our YouTube channel. And we'll be doing some chats here in the break. So if you want to head over and give me a chat, talk to me, you can do that right now. Go over to the Todd Stern Show YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Hey, Todd, David from Washington State. A simple reminder to all your naysayers that in Mark 16, we learn Jesus was not the only man healing and casting out demons. So this portrayal of Trump doesn't have to mean that he's portraying himself as Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, thank you. That was David from Washington State leaving us a shout out over on the app. And look, David is right. There is in the Bible, the disciples and other Christians were out there healing people, and they were doing so through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, but again, I don't want to do too much of a deep dive read into all of this. But at the end of the day, the question is, was this meant to offend Christians? And I just do not believe that was the case. And there's nothing in the president's background or history that would lead us to think something like that. I know we got a lot of you folks on hold, and I want to give you time. So hang tight. Don't hang up. We're going to give you time to weigh in coming up after the top of the hour news break. Also, we have the very latest on the blockade. Eric Swalwell, why are the Democrats protecting this guy? We'll talk about that coming up next on the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us today. So, look, I want to give you a quick update on this blockade at the Strait of Hormuz. We now understand more than 100 oil tankers are heading to the United States as the blockade forces them to reroute. So just a little bit of geopolitical history here. If you were wondering why Cuba was so vitally important to what President Trump and the Secretary of State have been up to, a lot of folks thought it had to do with Venezuela, but in actuality, it had to do with all of the Gulf Coast ports and oil refineries, because those ships have to move through that area very close to Cuba, and that's why the United States needed to make sure that Cuba was in friendly hands. So a lot of moving parts here. But if you look right now at the Gulf of America, the number of oil tankers that are in the Gulf of America, just really simply unbelievable. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. Hang tight. We're going to be getting to your calls in just a moment. That's 901-260-5926. Well, very excited to welcome a special guest. He is the Vice President of External Government Relations for Focus on the Family. We're going to get to him in just a moment. In the meantime, let's try to work in a couple of those phone calls. First, let's say hello to AP in Gainesville, Georgia. AP, what's on your mind?
Well, I listened to the president, and all those tankers are coming here to load up. I was just wondering why we're having to pay such high prices, especially on diesel.
Well, that is a great question, AP. I'm curious. What are you paying for diesel now, if compared to, say, maybe a couple of months back?
Well, I drove 500 miles last year, and it cost me $70. I drove the same distance this year, and it was $160.
$160. So, wow.
To fill up my truck, and it's just a pickup truck. So it was over right at $6 a gallon.
Well, I will say this. We got a note yesterday from our good buddy Joe Messina over in Southern California. And the price tag, let me see if I can't call this up. He's paying upwards of $8 a gallon right now for gasoline. Look, AP, they're going to blame it on what's happening in the Middle East, but those prices have been high. And by the way, high diesel prices, that's why your prices are not coming down at the grocery store quickly. That's the reason why. So the president says it's going to happen quickly. We're just going to have to wait and see, AP.
Yeah, I wish it had happened yesterday.
No, well, I understand. You and me both, and I will say this, that is going to be a concern, especially as we head into the summer months. A lot of people going on vacation. You're going to look at airlines raising their ticket prices, and that, you know, again, you don't want to see that happening as we get closer to the midterm elections.
No, sure don't. Well, appreciate you taking my call today.
All right, AP, happy to do it. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to the President of External and Government Relations for Focus on the Family, Timothy Gagline. He's also the author of an incredible new book called What Really Matters, Restoring a Legacy of Faith, Freedom, and Family. Timothy, good to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you, Todd. I'm a great fan of yours of many years, and it's really a delight and a blessing and an honor to be with you.
And just for the record, Timothy, you haven't posted any religious memes lately, have you?
I have posted no religious memes lately, I promise.
Good. All right. Just want to clear that up. You know, it is interesting when you look at what's happening in this country, and we've been hearing these stories about churches that are filling up, young people that are going back to the faith. They're seeming to embrace the faith. Is that accurate, or are these just anomalies in the country?
I think it's absolutely accurate. I'm an inveterate optimist, but even if I weren't, the empirical data says it's the case. And frankly, Todd, it's why I wrote What Really Matters. Because if we are really going to restore faith, family, freedom, we've got to see the planting of seeds like this germinate. And we are seeing them. In fact, just by coincidence, I was on a debate on Good Friday morning, and my interlocutor said, "Dollars to donuts, what do you think is going to happen this Easter?" I said, "If you're in the bluest part of America or the reddest, I think you're going to see churches filled to overflowing. Young people are going back to church, especially young men ages 18 to 25. They want to be married. They want to have children. They want to have a faith tradition. And I think absolutely we are seeing a moment of national revival."
Where do you think that desire is coming from? Because clearly the previous generation, their moms and dads, probably not as religious.
I'll tell you with some precision where I think it's coming from. It's a combination of COVID. You know, we are made for friendship and relationship. And this generation particularly felt that enormous sense of lockdown. They missed graduations. They missed dating. They missed being, elementally with people they like being with. And I think it seared their soul. I think that's part of it. And I think particularly, Todd, among young men, they have lived through not just a digitally distracted age, but a really era of brokenness. And I think they are seeking on this hand fellowship, friendship, relationship, but I think they're also seeking the spiritual sense. And I think that if we're going to really address and break what we all call the loneliness crisis, it is this combination of religion, faith, and returning to regular community of fellowship. And I think it's all to the good.
Decades ago, and I can't even remember who was speaking, but in the context of this speech, it was a pastor, and he said, "What's going to happen?" And this was back like in the 1990s. He said, "What's going to happen is you're going to see these continued attacks on young men in America, but especially the friendships that young men have, and usually you guys have a best friend." And they said, "You watch what society is going to try to do. They're going to try to sexualize that sort of relationship," and that is exactly what they did. It's just really appalling, the yes. level of attacks being directed at young men, especially in this country.
It really is, and it's why in What Really Matters, I devote an entire chapter to what I call restoring the American male. And I'd like to, if I may, not overwhelm anybody with data, but I think this is worth saying. And if people forget everything we've said, I think this is really worth internalizing. In America today, Todd, men account for 3 out of every 4 suicides or drug overdoses. And are you ready for this? Approximately 15% of all American men say that they have no friends. I was speaking at the weekend at one of the Ivy League schools, and after my remarks, I kind of opened it up for questions and answers, and I asked specifically the men in the auditorium whether this figure comported to the reality of their era. And they said, unfortunately, it did. They said they knew many young men who not only had no really close friends, they really didn't have friends per se. And I asked, what do you attribute that to? And much of what they said is what we're discussing today, this kind of breakage in what most people would say is a continuous idea of community, family, fellowship, neighborhood, kind of, the area that is most familiar to us. And in this era that we're in, this is a particular reality among the attack on masculinity and femininity. It has ramification. It's the kind of thing we're talking about.
So you write this book and you say, what really matters? What does it matter to? Things like faith, freedom, and family.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. I was speaking a couple of years ago on behalf of Focus on the Family. And after I spoke, an undergraduate came up to me and she said to me, Mr. Gagelein, I agree with most of what you have said. But she said, why is the political class not talking about what really matters? And I've not forgotten that. And I think that she was right on board. And I think that the political class understands now that government can make things a whole lot worse. They can't tuck a child into bed at night. They cannot save a marriage. There's no doubt about that. But the political class needs to learn that they can incentivize the breakdown of the natural nuclear family. They can incentivize the kind of things that have brought us to this moment in 21st century America.
Again, I think this is one of those for such a time as this books, especially at this juncture in American history. And I think the president and his administration have done a terrific job of putting out a lot of the dumpster fires and helping sort of point the ship in the right direction. But my concern is for the future. I mean, you know, you've got a lot of issues that are still undecided and things that have not been dealt with. What would you say is the most important thing that we need to be focused on right now as a country?
The single most important thing that we need to be focused on as a country is cultural renewal. Our friend at Breitbart famously said that politics is downstream from culture. But Todd, as you and I know, downstream from all of it, you know, maybe politics, but upstream at the top is the things of the spirit. Culture is downstream, you know, from things of the spirit, and politics after that. We have got to be focused on the things of culture, the things that really matter. We've got to be focused on rebuilding and telling a new generation about the goodness of marriage, the goodness of babies, the goodness of children, the goodness of being part of a faith and religious community. I'm a very serious Christian, and I think most people understand and know that when life seems to be top of the mountain, it's wonderful to be a part of a community like that. But inevitably, in the course of life, there are moments where you're not on the top of the mountain, you're in the valley. And we know from the idea of the Judaic Christian tradition and in the American experience that this kind of community is the thing that demographers tell us over time is the greatest guarantor not only of physical health, but of mental and emotional health. In other words, the natural law has a practical application.
Timothy, we're going to leave it there. There's so much more to this topic that needs to be discussed. Real quick, though, where can people go if they want to get a copy of your book, What Really Matters?
I'm very happy to say it's widely available, Todd, wherever people love to buy books, everything from Amazon to Target to their other favorite places. And I hope everybody truly will pick up a copy of What Really Matters as a tool in the toolbox toward the kind of cultural revival we all want.
Well said. All right. Timothy Gagelein, everybody, Vice President of External and Government Relations for our friends over at Focus on the Family. Timothy, great to see you. And we sure do appreciate you coming on the show today.
Todd, thank you so much. Be of good cheer.
All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's get right to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Tom in Atlanta. Tom, what's on your mind?
Unfortunately, Iran. So I'd much rather be thinking of planting tomatoes right now. Anyway, I listen to a lot of talk radio shows, and yours is right there at the top of my favorites, of course, but this guy was on this show last night, and it's a mainstream radio network show, you know, conservative mainstream. And he's an Iranian-American or American-Iranian, whatever. He's here. He's been here a while, but he still has people that he's in touch with back there. And he was telling me, or not telling me, he was telling the audience and his host of the show that when these people who got mowed down in earlier in the year, 30,000 or however many there were, that their family, to identify them, had to go unzip the bags, the body bags, one by one, and see if that was their relative. And, you know, until they found them, hopefully not sooner rather than later. But then they were charged a fee for the number of bullet holes that were in that body so that the Iranians could rearm their, you know, re-up their ammo. Now, if that's actually so, I don't know what to say other than, please, Mr. President, finish the job. This is beyond any adjective I can come up with to describe that behavior.
Yeah, look, it's an ugly thing, Tom, and I don't think that we will ever know the full extent of what happened over there, but I can tell you this, that they have to finish the job, and I think that President Trump understands that as well, and I think the president is going to finish the job. You know, what I find fascinating here, Tom, is that the lengths that Donald Trump is going to prevent us from having to wipe the civilization off the face of the earth, so much so sending J.D. Vance over there for 21 hours of peace talks, which, of course, amounted to nothing because the Iranians refused to compromise. They refused to do anything. So right now, I think that President Trump has the upper hand here. I think that Iran is going to pay a very stiff economic price here in the very near future. The question is, how long does it go on? Me, I just want to see things done, right? It's been, what, 50-something days? We've been there. Let's get it over with, and let's move on to the next big issue.
Yep, you got it. Thank you, Todd.
All right, Tom, thank you for that call. Yeah, it's called Pay for Bullets. This is insane. And this is the reporting that the families of the protesters who were killed had to pay for the bullets that were used to kill their loved ones. I mean, this is disgusting. Now, these are multiple reports. Now, the Todd Stern Show, we haven't been able to confirm any of this, but I'm just going to read this to you. This is the reporting of others, not me, but according to multiple sources, families are being told they have to pay for each bullet used to kill their relatives. The amounts range from whatever the amount, I think it roughly translates to $480 to $1,700. That's American money. Unbelievable. But this is who the Iranians are. These are evil people. Evil people, ladies and gentlemen. And Tom is right. We need to finish the job over there. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Woo, sweet mercy. We haven't even gotten to Swalwell yet. And also, we have some new polling data that shows an overwhelming number of Americans actually support what the president is doing in Iran right now. What does that say about the MAGA podcasting crowd? Well, we'll tell you coming up. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Little Isaac Hayes today. Always a good Monday when you got some Isaac Hayes playing. The CBS News poll finds Americans overwhelmingly support the president's goals in Iran. So this was released on Face the Nation. What's important for the U.S. to do regarding Iran? 87% open the Strait of Hormuz, oil access. 81% make sure Iran's people are safe and free. Stop Iran from attacking other countries at 76%. Permanently stop Iran from getting a nuclear program, 76% as well. So again, when you look at sort of like the transgender issue for the Democrats, it's really a 95-5 issue, and yet the Democrats just, they've lost their minds. I think the same thing applies to the conservative podcastistanis out there in Podcastistan. So all these MAGA podcasters, they are completely out of touch with their audience. Now, one thing that most Americans do believe is that the White House needs to do a better job of explaining our goals. 62% say the White House has not done that. And that's a fair criticism, to be perfectly honest with you. Trump's overall job approval rating stands at 50%. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Black Conservative in Memphis, Tennessee. Black Conservative, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
I am the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty dandy. Now that I'm talking to you, I feel erudite myself.
You know, I've been spending my time trying to keep America great, unlike these failed liberal politicians who try to undermine everything that this president is doing to keep this country safe.
I think there's something to that, Black Conservative. I think a lot of other people are doing it as well. What do you see here? You know, we're moving towards the midterms. What do you think the big issue is heading into the elections?
Well, there's no issue. Other than the fact that you said it a minute ago, there's no issue. The base is intact. Trump fought. We're intact. This idea that we're falling apart and we're upset that we voted for the president and all that nonsense that crazy, you know, the crazy people on the host on The View talk about, you know, them dodo birds, you know. But you just read the numbers there. They approve of what the American people approve of what the president is doing. Case closed. That's it. It's no controversy over that. You know, the fake news media, they're never going to be truthful about anything. You know, there was from day one when the Operation Fury took place, they jumped ship on day one after it was announced that, you know, it had started. So. But you reading the numbers there with the poll, for the Face the Nation CNN poll, there are numbers there. American people are with this president.
Well, they are, and I haven't doubted it. Look, there are forces at work trying to divide this coalition that Trump put together, and I think a lot of it has to do with they're not getting the amount of maybe access, maybe they're not getting the money that they thought was going to come. Maybe they're not even getting the invitations down to Mar-a-Lago. I don't know. But I think the clinical term is butthurt, Black Conservative.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not getting access because they're going to blow. You know, they can't let them know everything because you have all these leaks coming out about this and that. So, you know, they can't, you know, they have caught on now. You just can't, you know, let the news media know anything ahead of time because they can't be trusted. The media cannot be trusted. As President said last week, you can't trust these people. But and I want to say one more thing. The president does not owe the Pope an apology for nothing. You know, I get tired of this. You know, you got to have an apology for this. You got to apologize for Tiger Woods. You got to apologize for Sergio. Because he broke the golf club. Yeah.
He destroyed a perfectly good driver.
But it's his driver. You know, if you got $1 million in the bank, a couple of drivers broke, ain't gonna hurt you that bad. You know, this is crazy stuff. Everybody got to apologize to 3 million people because they did something, you know, out of character. No, Sergio doesn't owe it. Me apology, neither do Tiger Woods, and neither do the president owe the Pope an apology. I tell you who the Pope owe apology to, since he want to come out of his cave every blue moon. I tell you who he owe an apology to, the 200 little children who was sexually assaulted and molested by those bishops and priests in their parishes. Maybe he need to come out and apologize for that, those 200,000 little kids and cases that for their systematic cover-up of that. Mr. Polk, why don't you do that? If not, go back in your cage.
And that's what we call, ladies and gentlemen, an inconvenient truth. By the way,
I have an erudite mind. I'm a man of much book learning. You know, I should have told the president this about the poll. But this here and there.
I'm watching. I was going mad in the break. There was a big banner on one of the news channels that said, Trump attacks Pope. No, the president did not attack the Pope. He was responding to the Pope's attacks.
Absolutely. And the Pope was, you know, here's the deal over there. They hung a guy who was a raffler, just hung the guy in public, you know, hung the guy. The Pope didn't speak about that.
Not one bit.
The protesters, 40,000 them, inflicted punishment on them. Where were the Pope at the end? You know, I have a respect for the Pope, but he need to stay in his lane sometime. He kind of be out there in left field sometime. I don't know. Maybe he's been locked up too long or something. But anyway, beyond that,
black conservative. Let me ask you a question. That. Did you get down to Augusta National?
You know, I did not. I said, but I watched McElroy. I watched it yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to get down there.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what I want to know. I got a bunch of guys I know that are pastors. I want to know how they always get the invites to the Masters. I want to know what's going on there.
I better find out, too. Somebody in this soup is not tomatoes.
No.
You know, but, I mean, I didn't go down to the Masters. I don't know. I may have flipped my car on the side or something, so that's why I don't go. That's
all right.
They're good anyway.
All right. Black conservative, it's been far too long, my friend.
Well, I'm going to keep you locked in.
All right.
I was looking at the app. I'm going to lock the app, and I do apologize for cutting it running for a while, but, hey, it is what it is.
We got you back. I love it. All right. Black conservative, ladies and gentlemen, the man who has the most erudite mind of anyone in our great listening audience. So there you go. Dylan, did you catch any of the Masters over the weekend?
I saw that one hole-in-one shot, and that is the extent of my Masters watching.
And the Eagles, I tell you what, they were fired up.
Yeah, they were.
Fired up.
Yeah, there's some controversy surrounding the Masters this year.
You know, I wasn't going to bring that up, but is it Scottie Scheffler played did he not, like, play the course, like, for weeks?
I don't know. So the controversy that I saw was the guy that won, Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
It was the fact that he had been playing that course for like 2 months straight before the Masters.
Are they allowed to? I'm just pleading ignorance here. Are the golfers actually allowed to do that?
As far as I know, only he was allowed to do it because he won last year. So he had this, I don't know how it works. Someone else can probably call in and explain this, but he had access to that course and not, I don't know how many other people did.
Wow.
People are mad about it because they're like, well, of course he won. Because he's been there the past 2 months.
Yeah, they're saying that he had an unfair advantage, is what they're saying.
Yeah,
He
was on an interview too, and he was speaking about how that's literally been his life is Augusta course, and I'm like, well, yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know Outkick Sports is all upset about this.
Yeah,
and they say, oh yeah, had an unfair advantage heading into the Masters. I said Scheffler. I was talking about. I meant McIlroy. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know. You're going to have a good game, you know, and there's no guarantee that you're going to have a good game, no matter how many times you play the course.
That's true.
I mean, the wind blows, a little bird, you know, flies into your shot.
You can't practice for that, unfortunately.
Somebody coughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone has their phone out.
I get it. Yeah. So I'm reading one of these. I'm reading Fox News. And they had this op-ed about why, you know, and again, it's the freaking Masters. Why does everything have to be so political, right? It's the Masters.
Yeah.
So anyway, this op-ed was like, oh, I was wandering around and nobody was on their phones. The fathers were with their sons explaining the game. People were laughing and cavorting and drinking adult libations and laughter aplenty, you know, all this kind of like stuff. It was overkill. But I'm sitting here going, and the whole point was no one was on their cell phones. No one had their heads, you know, looking into the snow, you know, their heads down looking. Yeah, you know why? Because it's against the rules.
Yeah.
Nobody could have a phone.
You'll be carted away if you have that phone.
It wasn't as if the entire Augusta, Georgia area had like this epiphany of like, oh, we've got to put away our phones so we can hug each other again. No, you morons. You can't have a phone there.
I love it. They have a lot of rules. They have a lot of, and they're very fancy too. They're very decor.
Yeah, you can't be wearing t-shirts. I don't believe.
No t-shirts.
So you got to have a collared shirt.
Yeah,
you're allowed to wear shorts though, right? Or pants?
I hope so. I don't know. This is getting a little too far.
All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Hey, I've got to tell you, income tax time. I had to get an extension. I'm not proud of it, but that's the way it goes. Anyway, a lot of you folks looking at the future, getting ready to retire. Maybe some of you have already retired. Well, our friends at Newsmax have a very special report just for you. It is a strategy to boost Social Security benefits by as much as, $188,000 over a lifetime. And that's a big deal because apparently 70% of you folks are not getting the full benefits you actually deserve. So Newsmax wants to send you a Social Security report free of charge, no strings attached. Call 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we'll text you all the information right away. That's 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. I am greatly concerned about the advent of the humanoid robots. Dylan, this story out of CNN has me greatly disturbed. How filming your chores could train the android butlers of the future.
I kind of like this, but keep going.
Well, according to CNN, with the evolution of artificial intelligence, humanoid robots have become the latest frontier in the race to dominate advanced technology. And they're rolling out all of these new programs. Now, there is a huge appetite for first-person footage that can be used to train robots known as egocentric data or human data. Over the past several months, startups have stepped in to supply that demand by collecting and annotating videos from thousands of contract workers around the world, from manufacturing, factory warehouses, retail, nursing homes, and hospitals. So if you're reading between the lines here, one day, instead of going to see a nurse, you could have like this little robot humanoid person strolling up to you and poking you with a needle.
Okay, fine. I don't like it anymore. It's taking jobs.
Bend over.
What if the person recording the video messes up?
Right, exactly.
What happens then?
I mean, what happens? You saw, what is it? The Waymo cars? What are they called?
Oh, yeah, the self-driving.
Yeah, self-driving cars. You hear about what happened in Nashville over the weekend?
Well, I'm not surprised. I didn't hear about it, but yeah, I'm sure it crashed.
Multiple cars just stopped in the middle of like interstates or roadways.
Yeah, no, that's pretty terrifying. I would never let that happen to me, if I can help it.
Yeah, they call them those are the self-driving cars.
Yeah.
Autonomous cars. So they're basically being driven by robots, and they just stop in the middle. So what happens, God forbid, you know, the robot says, "How well, Mr. Stearns, bend over, cough." And all of a sudden, like, the robot craps out, and you've got, like, a probe sticking up your wazoo. What do you do then?
That might be the worst constructed scenario I've ever heard.
But, I mean, you've got to think that
Someone's
way.
Someone has to think about it, I guess.
What about pet care? Could you imagine a robot, like, you know, manhandling your poor cat or, I don't know, squirrel, whatever you got? That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a lot of good points here.
So, they're apparently submitting 10 hours of video. So, for example, Dylan, we could like film what you do, mm-hmm. and we could turn it over and to AI, and they would have somebody that they would train a robot to do what you do.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about intentionally messing up.
There's an organization called Micro One based in Palo Alto, California, which is where all the dystopian films start, by the way. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. And it has about 4,000 robotics generalists in different households across 71 countries. And they say that there are hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of these videos out there. The growing demand for data in robotics mirrors the early trajectory of ChatGPT and other AI chatbots trained on hundreds of billions of words harvested from the internet. And what they do is they look for text patterns to generate the likeliest responses to user prompts. They're saying this is like a multi-billion dollar deal here. Oh, it's got a section here. Here we go. It says still 90% of the customers are based in the U.S., and their assumption that American consumers have the spending power to adopt humanoid robots early. Some are willing to pay more for data from U.S. households, even though the hourly wage can be as much as triple that of a worker in Vietnam or India. Why would I want, what are we going to pay the robots now? I don't think so.
What scares me is the fact that what other data are they getting from our phones from daily usage? Mm. Like, you know, that one company that I think it was a car company, but they were using the those security tests that you have, those annoying security tests that you have to take when you have to like identify the stop signs in this photo. They were using that as data for AI the whole time.
They say the Indian kitchen is very different from the U.S. kitchen. Curry? I'm just guessing.
Probably a lot more curry.
A broomstick in India is very different from a broomstick in the U.S. I have no idea what that means. I don't know, folks. This is all going to end very badly. That's all. And then don't even get me started on the Islamist robots. I mean, at that point, it's all over. I'm just saying.
That is a Terminator movie. That is. Terminator 5, probably.
I guarantee it. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Would you buy a robot? Would you hire robots to do work that humans would do or are supposed to do? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 underway. Trust you are doing well here. By the way, This segment of the program being brought to you by our friends at Calitrin. You know, I've really been enjoying Calitrin, and it has the slimmer Todd is on the way. It has really been made a lot easier by our friends at Calitrin, and they do a wonderful job. And look, we talk about this all the time. It's been crazy wild this year. You've got everything going on in your life: ball games, kids, grandkids. You name it, and there's really no perfect diet, no perfect routine, and I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, right? So that's one of the reasons why I love Calitrin, and they're doing a wonderful job for me. And I want you to check them out as well. Go to toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. That's TOPLOSS.com. Or call 833-TOP-LOSS. That's 833-TOP-LOSS. LOSS. So you're going to love our friend Elizabeth and our friends over at Calitrin. Well, we've been following the developments coming out of the White House. The president earlier today talking to reporters and said, look, I did not blaspheme Jesus. He was portraying some sort of a medical worker honoring the Red Cross, and that's what was going on. You heard the president's remarks live here on the show. Meanwhile, you've got the Catholic Church that has really declared war on the president. Cut number 5, please.
Colonel McElroy, we are speaking in a church here in Washington, D.C., that serves a largely immigrant population. The pastor asked us not to share or publicize this parish name or location. What's he worried about?
He's worried for his people. They live under fear, and thus our mass count within at the Spanish masses in our archdiocese went down 30% from the year before. 30%, that's a lot. And it's all fear.
Before he became Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Robert McElroy served as the Bishop of San Diego, one of the busiest stretches of the southern border for illegal crossings.
I feel it got to a point where it was getting out of control.
Under Biden?
Under Biden, yes.
You believe in strong borders?
Yes.
So what's wrong then with the current policy?
This is a roundup of people throughout the country, people who have been living good, strong lives, been here a long time, raised their children here, many of their children born here, and are citizens. That's what our objection is.
But this was discussed during the campaign. It was widely discussed. And yet President Trump won the Catholic vote over Kamala Harris handily, 55-43%. He promised to secure the border. He talked about deportation. And a majority of Catholics voted for the policy.
I would like to know what Catholics feel about this indiscriminate mass deportation. I think that it's very clear the American people are saying, we really didn't vote for this.
Well, certainly the polling data would disagree with the cardinals there. But again, this idea that President Trump is attacking the Catholic Church is simply not true. The president is simply responding to the attacks that originated from Pope Leo and from the Vatican. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to play the victim card, and we're just not going to let them get away with it. If the Catholic leadership wants to jump into the fray here and get involved in politics, well, fellas, you got to put on your big boy pants because it's a rough and tumble sport. Well, excited to welcome our next guest, author of a great new book called The Rainbow Chaser, The Man Who Gambled for Success and Broke Even. Former Louisiana Congressman Bob Livingston joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, good to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Todd. It's great to be with you. And as a Catholic who disagrees with the cardinals, I'm doubly pleased to be here with you tonight.
You know, it is interesting, though, because, you know, the way the media is, and you know how they are, the Democrats. I mean, in the last administration, you had Joe Biden literally weaponizing FBI agents to infiltrate Catholic parishes, targeting pro-life Catholics, knocking down the front doors of their homes. I don't remember any condemnation of that behavior coming out of the Vatican.
Well, the immigration issue has just gotten out of hand. We've got too many people here that are criminals and they're pedophiles and murderers and all the like. And I cannot understand the position of the Catholic Church. So they're wrong. The American people are right. And we just need to turn that around.
You know, Congressman, I want to switch over to your book, The Rainbow Chaser. I mean, you have had quite a colorful career in our nation's capital. What was the deciding factor in writing the book?
Todd, I'm a prosecutor. I was a prosecutor before I went to Congress. 6 years putting the crooks in jail. I believe in solid criminal prosecution against people who violate the law, whether this violent or civil or anything else. The fact is, I believed in what I did. I never did it for political or personal reasons, and I never realized that there are people, and particularly in recent years, who have misused the legal process to go after innocent victims for their own personal or political reasons. And I think it's not just a fear that I have, but it's happened against many friends of mine, and they're listed in the books. And then when they finally came at me, I got so angry that I decided to write a book about it.
Well, it's by the way, folks, the book will be in stores on the 14th, so that's tomorrow. So you're going to want to make sure you get a copy of The Rainbow Chaser, The Man Who Gambled for Success and Broke Even. You know, you mentioned some of those folks. I mean, it is I love the phrase you use here. They've weaponized lawfare, and they've certainly been doing this against the president during his first term in office and now his second term in office, and even while he was out of office. But it's not just the president. A lot of conservatives have become victims of these activist judges.
The president was probably one of the most significant victims of the process. Lawfare has been the use of the authority of the state against innocent individuals since the beginning of time. But it's only become refined in the last 20 or 30 years, and the Biden administration went out of their way to employ it with devastating consequences. Yes, they went after the president, and he had the resources to fight them and to beat it. But too many people find themselves, their lives disrupted, their entire careers ruined, they're bankrupted, often sentenced and imprisoned. Lawfare is a dangerous, dangerous symptom of tyranny that has to be brought to bear, has to be turned around, or else this country, this free society of ours, cannot survive.
You know, Congressman, there's a phrase you use. You talk about the tyranny of the deep state. A lot of people think, oh, that's just a made up term. That's a make believe thing. But you say it's a real thing.
Yeah, they ruin people's lives. I mean, this guy, Jack Smith, who worked for the Justice Department over the last 4 years, went after President Trump. But he also went after people like Governor Bob McDonnell of Virginia, who, after 4 years, it's a one-term state, after 4 years, he's one of the most popular governors in the history of the country, or of the state of Virginia. And 2 weeks after he left office, all of a sudden, he gets charged by Jack Smith and dragged through the courts. His marriage was disrupted. He got to end up getting a divorce. He had to spend millions and millions of dollars in legal fees. He was tried. He was sentenced. He was looked at the possibility of going to jail. Went all the way to the Supreme Court, and at that point, the Supreme Court threw the whole case out, saying there was never a violation of law in the first place. And they admonished Jack Smith. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's happened to people right and left. Senator Ted Stevens was convicted 2 weeks before his election. He lost his election after a wonderful career in the United States Senate from Alaska. He founded Alaska, it was virtually as one of them. And he ended up getting convicted. 2 weeks, then about 2 months after the case was thrown out. Excuse me, after the election, and after he'd lost his election, the judge threw out the case and said that he was no longer that the prosecutors had violated their legal authority, and the case was dismissed completely. But he couldn't get his job back. He couldn't go back to the Senate. And a couple of years later, he tragically died in a plane crash.
What is the solution here long term? It seems like this is not some sort of an easy fix, or maybe it may be, but how do we fix it?
Well, I think the most important thing is that prosecutors, and certainly U.S. attorneys and the Attorney General of the United States and district attorneys around the country need to understand that they have tremendous authority. And if they abuse that authority, then they do risk the possibility of tyranny. I think that what we have to do is make prosecutors liable, criminally or civilly, if in fact they pursue a person for personal or political reasons without evidence and without probable cause. I am absolutely 100% for legitimate criminal prosecution. It's the only way a free society can exist, is if we have legitimate law enforcement. But if they abuse that authority, they ruin lives. They devastate families. And the abuse of the authority is just intolerable. It's got to be reversed. And the only way to do it is to get the leaders who are responsible for these offices to impress upon their prosecutors, do it legitimately, do it fairly, but don't abuse your authority.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Congratulations on the great new book. It's called The Rainbow Chaser, The Man Who Gambled for Success and Broke Even. It'll be available in bookstores all across the nation tomorrow. And, Congressman, as somebody who spent time in St. John the Baptist Parish, I notice you're a big Green Wave guy, so go Green Wave, Tulane.
Go Green Wave. They've had pretty good years in the last few years.
They have,
We're hoping to keep it up. We're not quite SEC standards, but we're getting there.
Good stuff. All right, Congressman, good to have you on the radio show. I know we're getting you on my Newsmax show as well. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, there you go, folks. Former Louisiana Congressman Bob Livingston, the book called The Rainbow Chaser, The Man Who Gambled for Success and Broke Even. All right, we've got to take a break here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, it's been a rather fascinating thing to watch, but Eric Swalwell has been taken out by his own party. This is pretty remarkable to watch what transpired over the weekend, and Swalwell has now announced he's suspending his campaign for governor. There are calls from Republicans to pull out of Congress and to have this man expelled from Congress. The allegations are just unhinged. But ugly stuff. And, of course, now you have the Democrats who are saying, you know, they're trying to say they're taking the moral high ground here. But let me be clear. There is absolutely nothing moral about these godless, immoral Democrats, period. So now we understand the House Ethics Committee has opened an investigation into Swalwell. The ethics panel said in a statement that the investigation into Swalwell relates to allegations he may have engaged in sexual misconduct, including towards an employee working under his supervision. What is it that, Messina, Joe Messina on Friday on the show said that the nickname, they got a nickname for this guy back in California, that his name is Swallow. Anyway, Swalwell suspended a run for governor Sunday, did not respond to any request for comment. This is from Politico. He says the allegations are all false. The accusations first reported in the San Francisco Chronicle as well as CNN. Nancy Pelosi says that the accusations must be investigated. Four women describe sexual misconduct by Congressman Swalwell, including a former staffer who says that he raped her. This is from CNN, telling the news organization, I was pushing him off me, saying, no, he did not stop. This happened in his office. She says the congressman raped her when she was heavily intoxicated and left her bruised and bleeding. Three other women who spoke with CNN also alleged various kinds of sexual misconduct by the Democratic congressman, including Swalwell, sending them unsolicited explicit messages or nude photos. Now, let me just say something here. First of all, innocent until proven guilty, right? But that's not how the Democrats play. It's guilty unless otherwise told by the Democrats. They set all the rules here. So, therefore, since the Democrats set the rules, that they've got to play by these rules. And that means this guy is guilty as charged. It's unbelievable. And it's somewhat laughable had it not. These are very serious charges, ladies and gentlemen, incredibly serious charges. And if this is true, this guy needs to go away to jail for a very long time. If everything is as it has been alleged. But the challenge here is that everybody knew it, and everybody's known it for a very long time. This is nothing new. As a matter of fact, this is former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. Take a listen to Cut 8.
If you got the briefing I got from the FBI, you wouldn't have Swalwell on any committee. And you're going to tell me other Democrats couldn't fill that slot? He cannot get a security clearance in the private sector. So would you like to give him a government clearance? You asked me questions about Santos. You asked the questions about Swalwell. Not only was he getting a clearance, he was inside an intel committee. He had more information than the majority of all the members. Did you ever raise that issue? No, which you should have. You're going to tell me there's 200 other Democrats that couldn't fill that slot, but they kept him on it? The only way that they even knew it came forward is when they went to nominate him to the Intel Committee. And then the FBI came and told the leadership then, he's got a problem. And they kept him on. That jeopardized all of us.
All right. So he's got a point there, because this guy would have been open to blackmail Congressman Swallow, no doubt about it. Here's what needs to happen, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. There's actually a sex assault slush fund in Congress. That's right. They're using your tax dollars, and they paid out some $17 million in settlements. I don't know about you. I want to see who was doling out the money. Who are they protecting? We need to know, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, Independent. Don't care. Don't care, but we deserve to know if we've got perverts working up on Capitol Hill. We'll be right back. All right. These numbers are just staggering. And when you hear these numbers that I'm about to share with you, the entire Make America Healthy Again movement, all of the efforts to get Americans in shape, it's going to make sense to you. So there are a lot of different surveys out there, but they all seem to point in the same direction. According to this data, roughly 73% to more than 75% of all American adults are considered overweight or obese. And obesity rates alone are hovering around 40 to 42%. So, by the way, and these are multiple surveys. A Gallup poll, by the way, and this was self-reported data, found that 43% of Americans describe themselves as overweight. And it's also just as bad among children and teenagers, obesity affecting about nearly 30% of adolescents and 22% of children. Women have a slightly higher problem with their weight than men do. And overall, this is a big issue. And that's one of the reasons why we've been so excited to introduce all of you to our friends at PhD Weight Loss. And on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, we're just honored to have Dr. Ashley Lucas, who is the founder and the advisory consultant of PhD Weight Loss. Dr. Lucas, what an honor to have you with us today.
Hi, Todd. It's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
So, again, these numbers, I think I don't delve into these specific kinds of numbers every single day. And quite frankly, it seems a little staggering to me. Are you surprised by those numbers?
I'm not surprised, because I've been in the field of weight management for, I don't know, the last 20 plus years. I do think it's obviously a huge issue. We can't be strong as a community, as a nation, if we aren't strong in our health. It's my biggest purpose and passion is to help empower people to be able to step up, to better their lives, and to become self-sufficient. I hate when we're dependent on big food, big pharma, anything outside of ourselves. So that's my ultimate goal, is to help people to be able to understand they can create the change if they want to. They can do it pretty darn simply. And I don't know if you've experienced that. I don't think it has to be as hard as we believe that it is. And to be self-sufficient, to be self-empowered, to be able to create change and keep that positive change there.
You know, I thought it was interesting, just going back in history, and there was an amazing quote from President John F. Kennedy, who was a fierce proponent of being physically fit and getting out there and being active. And the kind of language he used to describe America's children would get you canceled in today's culture. But sometimes, you know, you have to have those tough conversations. And I know a lot of people are trying so many different things. You know, they're trying to take off a few pounds and nothing seems to work. And then you guys come along and you've created a really unique formula that's actually been very, very successful.
Yeah. We've helped over 12,800 people nationwide. Wow. Collectively together, we've let go of almost 500,000 pounds. Any age, you know, I think a lot of people come in saying, oh, I'm just too old. I can't do this anymore. I was just reading a story of a lady who came into us. Her name is Anne, and she's 80 years old, and she dropped 50 pounds, dropping about 2.5 pounds per week naturally, by the way, no medications. So it is totally possible, and we just take the guesswork out of it. We create a customized meal plan for every single client. We guide them in exactly what, when, how much to eat. They're not hungry. They feel good. They sleep better. Their focus is better. I mean, it is an amazing process when you're able to give your body the food that it really needs at the right time, when you don't starve yourself anymore. You can take the body out of what I call survival mode and allow it to feel safe enough, again, to be able to release the fat much more effortlessly. That's the ultimate goal.
MyPhDWeightLoss.com is the website, folks, and I want you to go and check it out, MyPhDWeightLoss.com. When you go to the website, what are they going to find there, Dr. Lucas?
Well, they'll find a lot of really great stories, real people who are just like you, who were skeptical, who have tried everything before and can finally see success. We have over 2,000 five-star reviews, sharing stories, pictures, videos, and then, of course, the ability to give us a call. We are real people, no AI. When you give us a call, you'll actually talk to a real person and we'll get you booked with one of our nutritionists. Our nutritionists are amazing. They've been with me for years. They know exactly what's going on. And we're going to get to know you and your story because our program is customized. Like I said, we create a customized meal plan for you. But first, we have to understand where you've been, what you've done, what your goals are. And then the length of your program is customized to your needs. So it's not just 90 days or 6 weeks. It's going to be built around you and your needs. So that's why the first step is to schedule one of those consultations. And because you're hearing this on the show today, that consultation will be waived. You just need to mention Todd Starnes and we'll do that for you.
Well, it's been a great thing for me, and I'm sort of in the early primordial ooze phase of jumping into this. And I'll tell you, you know, working with a nutritionist, it's almost like having a weekly coach, you know, who, you know, you just sort of, you know, plan your week ahead. And, you know, mm-hmm. It's really, you know, I personally have seen the difference. And the food is pretty spectacular. I'm a big fan of the cream of chicken, by the way. And,
oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Yeah. So anyway, and again, I think a lot of people are somewhat skeptical because, you know, they've been through all the diet programs before. This is really not about dieting per se.
No, you are creating a new lifestyle. And that's why we need to do it one step at a time and why we are so high touch. Your coach, Heather, is amazing. All of our coaches are amazing. Ebony, Lori, I mean, Jenny. We help clients all over the country, every state. And so what you were mentioning, Todd, is we like to provide the food. There's no additional cost to the food. It's just there for you as a tool. We'll ship it to your doorstep. It arrives there. And we have it paired with your customized meal plan. So again, you're going to know exactly what to eat. We're going to provide a lot of that to you. If you want, you can always use your own foods if you want. But we find that the process is more easy, more reliable when we're able to manage a bit more for you at the beginning. And then just like for you, Todd, your dinner meal is on your own. It's your responsibility. It's about becoming empowered to know what you're doing for your body. So we need to start with one meal at a time. So it's not overwhelming. So you'll understand dinner. And then as we let go of dinner, after you understand dinner, we're going to let go of lunch and breakfast and snacks. So by the time we get you where you need to be, we let go of that belly fat because that's what we focus on is the belly fat. You're totally self-sustainable. You understand what to eat, when to eat. You understand your thoughts and your behaviors because 80% of any change comes from the mind. That's why you have a weekly coach, a counselor guiding you through it. I don't know, Todd, were you surprised at your hunger levels? Were you hungry? Did you have cravings? Tell me a little bit about
that. No, not really. It was, you know, what I found fascinating was, you know, I'm pretty much from sunup to sundown, you know, I am behind a microphone or in front of a TV mm-hmm. camera. So it's hard to get into that, you know, that routine. But yeah. One of the things that I was really impressed with, I know this is going to sound silly, but I do like butter. And Heather, the great nutritionist, was like, yes, you need to have butter in your diet. You know, maybe not a whole stick, but, but you know, and so it's, I haven't lost any of the flavor, any of the foods. You know, I've cut back on some things, but, but I think it's been a really great journey so far.
Yeah, I love to hear that. I think most people believe that when they're losing weight, they're going to be hungry, it's miserable, and most of the time you are. But through this program, by eating the right foods, by healing your metabolism, you're going to be amazed that you don't have hunger, you don't have cravings, you're really liberated from food. Again, no food noise, but naturally. You can drop weight quickly, you can drop weight sustainably, enjoy the foods, have rich foods, red meat if you like it. You don't have to be vegan or vegetarian. It's really a beautiful thing when we can feed the our body the right food at the right time and allow it to work the way that it's supposed to naturally.
All right. So you mentioned that anybody listening, if they call in today, they get a free consultation.
Yes.
What does that look like and what number should they call?
So the consultation is going to be about 30 minutes. You will meet with one of our nutritionists. We're going to talk about your goals, your health history, where you've been, what you've done before. We really want to understand where your body is at the moment. One thing we haven't talked about is the belly fat. The belly fat is a different type of fat than the fat throughout the rest of the body. It is this active tumor-like organ once it gets in there. It wraps around the liver, it gets in the organs, it gets its own blood vessels, grows its own blood vessels. And once it does, it starts to secrete hormones, and these hormones create inflammation in the body. They drive continued hunger and cravings. It's like this thing, and all it wants to do is get fatter and fatter as fast as possible. So we need to understand where your body is right now, how much of this deep belly fat, this visceral belly fat that you are carrying, to understand the length of your program. We want to explain what's happened in your body. We want to know if you've had weight gain and loss, kind of your history around dieting, so that we can create a customized meal plan for you. And after that consultation, you will be ready to go. We will pick out foods with you. We will ship them to your doorstep, and you will get scheduled with your nutritionist for your first weekly one-on-one coaching session. That is really the best bet so that you can learn what your program would look like. The phone number is 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900, and you will get a real beautiful person on the phone talking to you when you give us a call.
I love that. All right, Dr. Lucas, we're going to have to leave it there, but I know we'll have you back soon, and thank you. It's really enjoying being a part of PhD Weight Loss. It's a great program, and we want to give Heather a shout-out as well.
That's right, we do. Thank you, Todd.
All right, Dr. Ashley Lucas, everybody, the founder of PhD Weight Loss. MyPhDWeightLoss.com is the website, and the phone number is there. All the information is there. And I just want you to understand this. This is on average, 94% of the folks who went through PhD Weight Loss experienced a reduction in insulin use, and 17% on average experienced a reduction in diabetes markers. It's working, and it's working for thousands and thousands of people around the nation, and it can work for you too. And I mean, what did she say? What, 500,000 pounds lost? That's the planet says thank you for that. I mean, that's a chunk of tonnage right there. So anyway, let me give you the website address again, myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. Or if you want to call them directly, 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Tonight we have a jam-packed program on Newsmax. Hope you watch the Todd Stearns Show. Also, ladies and gentlemen, just a friendly reminder to go and pre-order a copy of my brand-new book. It's coming out in May. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I want you to read this book. It also lays out the blueprints for what happens in this country after President Trump leaves office. So Again, I want you to get a copy. You can do that going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. There's a report out there about Google News now suppressing right-leaning conservative news organizations. Not surprised at all. Now, a few months ago, we noticed something happening on our Facebook page. Now, we have humans that we talk to at Facebook. We do a lot of work with Facebook, and we post a lot of our content on Facebook. And we are in good standing. We have never been in violation. We always play by the rules, and we spend money on Facebook. So a couple of months ago, noticed a little concerning trend, and I alerted our folks at Facebook about the trend, and they said, no, everything is fine, no big deal. The next month, we noticed the same trend. It was a downward trend. And keep in mind, on our social media pages, at least on Facebook, we're getting 100, 200 million engagements a month. We have a lot of engagement on Facebook. Well, we had a lot of engagement on Facebook. So the new numbers came out just a few days ago, and our overall engagement on Facebook, not changing a single thing that we've done, not a single thing, no mistakes, no issues, none of that. Our traffic is down, engagement is down some 75%. And Facebook says they're looking into it again, but we can show them monetarily what sort of an impact it's having, numerically what sort of an impact. And the reality is that we're very careful with everything we post on social media. Like I said, nothing has been flagged because we do a very good job of making sure we play within the rules. And it's very clear that conservatives, or at least our page, has been throttled. There's no other explanation. Down 75%. So I want to encourage you to do something here, because, and I know it's so frustrating, but there's only one way to guarantee that you are getting conservative news and content and information from us, which is all exclusive, by the way. There's only one way for you to get that information, and that is to go to our website and sign up for our free newsletter. Now, it is free, and we do not inundate you. Sometimes we have three or four newsletters come out in the week. Sometimes we have two or three. I mean, it really depends on the news cycle, because I don't want you guys to be overwhelmed with content from us. But again, the only way to get around the social media censorship is by getting our newsletter, and we send it directly to your inbox. We can also send it to your smartphone. Whatever is easier. We are one of the most user-friendly conservative places. We don't beg you for money. We don't do any of that, right? We put it all out there, and if you want to donate, great. If you want to get something for free, you can get something for free. That's how we do things. But look, it's really disappointing, once again, that we are having to deal with this, and not only with Facebook, but also with X now. A lot of people are really frustrated because of what's been happening on X since Elon took over. Initially, it was such a breath of fresh air, right? I mean, Elon was really doing a great job, and I'm not sure who's in charge now, but even on X, a lot of the people I follow do not even show up in my feed anymore. I have to physically go and search them out on X, and something's not right about that. It's interesting. You can ban people on Facebook, but they can, or on Twitter, but they can still see you. They can't engage with you, but and their stuff always shows up on your feed. But the people you actually follow and that you want to follow, all of a sudden those folks disappear. And again, for X, it's bothersome because we're paying a lot of money to be on that platform, and we're not getting a lot of return for that investment. It goes back to something Rush Limbaugh said many years ago. He said, do not base your business plan on somebody else's platform. And that is great advice, and we have not done that, and in a large part because of Russia's advice. That being said, many of you are on Facebook exclusively, and if that's how you're getting our information, you're not getting it. So again, go to toddstearns.com and look at the very top of the page. You'll see subscribe. We don't ask for a lot of information. We don't share your information. We just want to make sure you're getting our news reports in a timely manner without censorship. All right, it's been a, man, it has been a weird day, right? Well, we're going to continue the weirdness, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax 2. Folks, get out there. You be good, America.